Hey everyone, Frank here. Just wanted to say a quick note before the show starts. Thanks so much for listening. Tim and I have had a real blast making the show so far, and we're really thrilled with the response so far from all of you. So thrilled, in fact, that we are actually going to twice a week, at least for the foreseeable future. You'll be getting Beer with Geeks on Tuesdays and Fridays, which is super exciting for us. So thanks for the super positive response to the show so far. Just a quick reminder, to keep that response going, pass it on to other people. One way you can do that is by leaving us an iTunes review. That would mean a lot to us. We've gotten a couple already, and you guys are awesome for doing that. So please keep it up. Tell a friend, leave a review. Would mean a lot to us. Thanks a lot, and enjoy the show. Bye.
Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles!
Named the dog in the ant.
Life finds a way.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one, because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to episode 5 of Beer with Geeks, the podcast where we reminisce about our geeky childhoods with our ungeeky beer. I'm Tim.
And I'm Frank.
And today we will be discussing the nerdiest thing of all.
The nerdiest of the nerdy.
You ready for this?
Yeah. We should man up for this. This is a manly topic.
Yeah, hold on, take a sip.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Our manly topic.
Chick flicks.
Hey. All right.
Unabashedly unashamed of these chick flicks.
I'm not ashamed.
No,
I feel as manly as ever.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Hold on. Let me just talk about one thing for a second.
Yes,
first.
Yes, please.
Cars. Okay, I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, I'm good. That's it.
Steak. Beer.
Beer. Cars.
We're good at this.
Yeah, really.
We nailed that.
Yeah.
On top. All right.
So, all right. So today we are going to be looking at all the squiggly lines. All right. So today is talking about the chick flicks that we are not ashamed to say that we like, which I'm really not, actually. Okay. When people say, what's your favorite movie? This was usually my first go-to response is always Love, Actually.
Me too. Not my favorite movie, but my favorite chick flick, absolutely. Actually,
it used to be my go-to favorite movie, period, just because it was like one of those like, oh, well, people have seen it, they know what it is, and I don't really know what my favorite movie is, so at least I go with that. People go, oh, good choice.
Yeah, yeah.
Good choice. Yeah, so that's kind of why I left it at that, but I wouldn't classify it as my favorite anymore, but man, do I love it.
I love it.
I am actually in love with it.
Actually.
Yeah. Actually. Okay, so let's talk about that one for a since it's both of ours. Let's talk about that for a little while. What is it about that movie that makes you all tingly inside?
I really enjoy the multiple storylines and how you think they're going to be unrelated. Just here are these different people with their different stories, and then gradually they all connect in one way or another.
Yeah. All like
someone is someone else's sibling. Or someone
friend
is
or
someone else's friend.
Or on the radio, or whatever.
Just everything overlaps and everything interconnects in some way, which I think is really cool in the way it's told. Really, really enjoy it. Obviously, the cast also.
I was going to say, the who's who of British actors.
Or
UK actors, because not all of them are British, I will clarify.
But
unbelievable.
Yeah.
The smallest part to the biggest part, people that you've seen in stuff for years, you didn't know their name. Mm-hmm. People who weren't famous at the time but are now.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I don't know if Keira Knightley was famous at that point.
I don't think she was huge yet, but she was.
I don't know if Love Actually came before or after Pirates, so I'm not sure.
Before, I think.
It was before.
Yeah.
So Keira Knightley. But. Who's Alex Lincoln?
Andrew Lincoln.
Andrew Lincoln.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now of Walking Dead fame.
And yeah. Everyone, it blows everyone's mind that he's British. And I was like, I've known that for years.
Right.
Because he's in Love, actually. I'm right. Like a little snob with that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, interconnected story. I love that. The who's who of cast. And I mean, it's a hoot.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hoot, but it's a realistic hoot mm-hmm. and unrealistic all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love it. I love Colin Firth's story.
Absolutely.
Of this, like, romantic, like, we're from two different worlds coming together thing. Mm-hmm. Just as much as I love Alan Rickman's I Almost Cheated on My Wife.
Yeah.
But I didn't, but mm-hmm. I did, you know, and then, like, it's just all of it wrapped together.
All of it brilliant. All of it brilliant, the way it all ties together. Bill Nye's whole, you know... X pop stuff.
In my fingers.
In my fingers.
I feel it in my toes.
Yeah, I mean, his whole, like, fading pop star, not wanting to acknowledge that his, you know, he's, or he acknowledges that he's done, but he's like, I'm going to milk this for everything it's worth. You know, like, here's a crappy rewrite of an old song.
And he talks about it in that way.
Yeah.
Like, his crass honesty is.
Yeah.
Incredible, even compared to some of the characters who aren't honest at all.
By my flaming turd record.
Like, yeah. Just... yeah. Best shag you ever had, Britney Spears. She was rubbish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So fantastic. So fantastic.
Martin Freeman.
Martin Freeman. Oh, my God.
What is quite possibly one of the most awkward compilation of scenes ever assembled on film with some of the most awkward people. Oh, but it was...
So funny.
First,
so hilarious.
First time I saw that movie, I was in high school.
Okay.
And I was at one of my best friend's house at the time. She lived like 5 minutes from me. And it was watching with her and her mom.
See,
So, like, and when, like, now as an adult, you're like, whatever.
It's different.
I don't care.
It's different now.
It's totally different
but
now.
But when you're in high school.
When you're at that age and you're like, oh, they're coming.
The sex people
weren't really having sex. Like, that's what I think is so funny. People always mark that they're like, oh, that's, you know, like, that's a dirty scene.
It's like,
they're like, well, actually, it's one of the, apart from them being naked, they're like the most innocent of people in the whole film. Like,
which is what makes it so, makes them so endearing and what makes it funny.
Yeah.
And it's.
And what just makes the whole film endearing and funny and everything like that, just because I just everything. And it's an insanely quotable film.
Insanely quotable.
Yeah. And part of that is the accents, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if all the lines. Yeah, for us. I don't know if all the lines would fly the same way. Because, I mean, studios have tried for years to copy. Studios have tried for years to copy that.
Like that format.
And it just doesn't ever pan out the way that they want it to.
It's true. American versions of that idea don't really work out the same way.
No, the charm is just not there.
Mm-hmm.
That British sensibility and charm, and it's just not there.
But, we haven't talked about Hugh Grant at all.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The Prime Minister.
Get down
for
my love.
Easily my favorite scene in the
film. So I was just watching a film totally unrelated to Love, actually. It was The Special Relationship, it's about Tony Blair and Bill Clinton.
Oh, okay.
Which is Dennis Quaid as Bill Clinton, which was awesome.
It's okay.
Martin Sheen, not the president Martin Sheen, the like of 30 Rock and... Frost Nixon, that one. And so, but it was so good. Mm-hmm. It was so, so good. But anyway, different plug for a different film, a different style. But there's a scene in which he's walking on those stairs, and all I could think, like, I just was taken right out of the scene. All I could think about was Hugh Grant dancing down.
That was the only thing
I thought about. It was awesome. He did that scene without music. He danced to it without any music. They didn't know what song they were going to do yet.
Fantastic.
Or something like that. And so, like, or the way that sound works in film, you have to plug it in afterwards.
Yeah, you have,
So he danced just to nothing.
Oh, man.
He said he hated doing it. Because he's just like, you know, a crew of like 20, 30, 40 people.
Sure.
Who are, you're by yourself dancing like an idiot to no music. Oh, But it is one of the best scenes in the movie. Man. Oh, it's great. I love it. Love that whole film. Liam Neeson with his son.
Oh, of course.
Or his stepson, his newly stepson. And, oh, it's just so funny. And then, oh, shoot, what's Rowan Atkinson, Mr. Bean?
Oh,
it's like, would you like it in a Christmas box?
What a Christmas box. Like, you do next, dip it in yogurt.
Oh, it's great.
Everybody is fantastic in the movie. I mean, we could literally talk here for hours, but every cast member and how they are perfect for their role. I mean, oh, that's so great. Do you have a favorite storyline, favorite character storyline?
Usually mine's Colin Firth's.
Very nice.
Usually it's Colin Firth's just because I relate to that character a lot. Mm. Like, I get him a little bit more than I get some of the other ones.
Yep.
And so I think that one's my favorite because it kind of hits some of them are like consistently funny or like consistent, like one way or the other. He has a real arc in the story. Like, he starts off and he's been cheated on from his girlfriend and his brother. Yeah. And so you kind of see the top, the down, and then the rise again.
Yeah.
Yeah. The rebuilding. And that part, I really enjoy it. Excuse me. I enjoy all of that totally together. That and Bill Nye, I think the aging rockstar is just, I love him in anything.
Yeah, I love him
in anything. Yeah.
Yeah, I think my favorite is the Prime Minister.
Yeah?
I think the Prime Minister and Natalie.
Natalie. So,
Plumpy.
Plumpy.
Yeah.
We call her Plumpy.
Ooh, we call her Chubby.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's a great one. And I think Bill Nye is my second.
Yeah.
Also love Colin.
Oh, yeah.
Bottle.
A table.
It's the same.
Yeah.
We quote that a lot.
All the time.
We quote that a lot.
We really quote the movie a lot. Yeah, but table is like...
Table.
Table. Oh, it's the same.
Yeah.
His wasn't the story that I was totally in love with the first time I saw
Colin,
the
film. No, it's not my favorite, but it's fun
in its own way.
It's fun.
That lovable rapscallion type character.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. Okay. So that's Love Actually.
Yes.
And that was mine, so...
It
was also yours. But that was the one that I said, so it's your turn now.
My second choice... I say this counts as a chick flick. Mean Girls.
Oh, yeah. I would have actually... That was actually the next one in my docket.
Okay, so there you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mean Girls. As also eminently quotable. I think enjoyable no matter, guy or girl. Not in the same way as Love Actually by any means.
No, totally
very
different.
Very tonally different.
Tina Fey is not the writer of Love Actually.
Right.
Right.
It's not the same style, not the same tone at all, but very, very, very good. Very funny. I can honestly say the only Lindsay Lohan movie that I enjoy.
The Parent Trap.
Okay, I guess. But I almost think of her like as a different person when she's a kid. It's almost like
it's not a Lindsay Lohan
movie.
Agree.
You know what I mean?
She's
grown up Lindsay Lohan.
No, I agree. That movie's also filled with a bunch of people that went on to do a bunch of other stuff.
That is true.
Yeah. I love that. I love it. Also, like you said, insanely quotable. I actually just... somebody was just in my presence who I was near my desk at work, which I have a copy of it in my desk at work for reasons nobody needs to know about. He was like, oh, I've never seen it before. So I whipped it out of my desk and I was like, watch it. And he did.
He did.
Loved it. Yeah. It's funny because you watch that movie and it's like about the high school experience. And that movie certainly was not my high school experience in any way, shape, or form.
No.
Sorry, I just touched your foot.
It's okay.
Yeah, okay.
Playing Footsie Wally podcast, that's fine.
Well, they can't tell. Well, now they can.
Now
you
can.
Outed us. You did. I did.
Yeah, but it wasn't my high school experience either.
No, it was not mine.
But still, relatable in a way, relatable in to the extent that, or in the sense that it's our generation again. Like it's
again, and you could see even if it wasn't your high school experience, you'd be like, I know people
very, like, yeah,
very close. I actually just ran into the person in my life that was very much the Janice.
Oh.
Very, very much. She wasn't as hate-filled. She was actually quite full of love.
Okay.
But, like, just looks and dress and all those things. I haven't seen her in 10 years, maybe more. And so, but I just ran into her, and it was great.
Yeah.
It was great. We caught up. It was awesome. She no longer dresses like that. Good for her. As, you know, what someone, you know, pushing 30, it's probably better that she doesn't dress the way Janice dresses. But I don't know, I love Tina Fey just in all respects, and so I think that movie was probably my first exposure to Tina Fey. Actually,
I had seen SNL.
Oh yeah,
I knew SNL. Of her from SNL already, but I believe the movie was before 30 Rock.
Oh, yeah, way before.
Yeah, at least a couple years before 30 Rock. So yeah, I knew of her from SNL. I knew exactly who she was from SNL. But, this is my first exposure to her outside SNL.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope she writes another movie soon because I want that to happen.
I don't know if she's doing it, but it's currently being made into a musical.
I know. I think she may have some level of involvement, but I don't think it's
her specifically.
Yeah, yeah.
I did hear that. Maybe it's her, maybe it's not. I'd look into it, but there's the book that it's based on.
Yeah.
There's a sequel-ish type book by the same author about the moms of these children. Okay. It's like these types of children.
Yeah.
And I think there's a movie in development about the moms.
Interesting.
Yeah, not of these characters
not
specifically.
The same, yeah,
not
yeah.
in the same world or universe, but I guess on the same idea.
Yeah.
Of like what I mean, because what's her name? Who plays Regina George's mom?
Amy Poehler.
Amy Poehler.
Yeah.
It's just like a fascinating.
Yeah. We all know
something.
We all know that mom.
Oh my God.
We
yeah.
all. And like.
Thank it's, God it's not my mom.
Yeah, exactly. It's we all know that mom that wants to relive her adolescence through children.
Her children.
Oh my God. Yeah. You know, like.
It's funny because you say that because I distinctly remember
a
conversation. When we were in Target one time.
Okay.
And we were in the toy aisle because somebody had pushed us in there. And
of course.
Yeah. Of course. And,
call back.
Well, yeah. And we were talking about kids and all that stuff.
Yes.
And we both said that our children are going to like what we like so we can play with their toys.
Yes, we did say that. And that's exactly what this mom, what Amy Poehler's character does in that movie.
Weirder and grosser extent.
It takes it way too far.
Like, what do you guys need? Anything? Lemonade? A condom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Way it takes too far.
Yeah. Oh, way too far. That even though that movie was our generation, it is extended generations.
Oh yeah, yeah. It now transcends. Yeah,
and yeah.
Kids who are teenagers now still
quote it.
Still relate to it.
And not for Gretchen Wieners. Bye.
Yeah,
yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like they know if you say that, they're gonna know what you're talking about immediately.
You know what the sad thing is though? You know it airs on TV like all the time. It's like always on TV somewhere. And a couple months ago, it was trending on Twitter that it. You know, occasionally if you look at Twitter.
Oh yeah, it was the anniversary of.
It was. That's it. That's right. It was 10-year anniversary, and. It was on TV, and there were a bunch of high schoolers tweeting about it, and tweeting about it ironically, because to them it was, like, retro. It was, like, a throwback to, like, they were, like toddlers when the movie came out. Now they're in high school. And they were like, oh, that's so funny. Look at the way people dressed. And I was just like, no. It's too soon for that.
It's like when we watch The Breakfast Club and we're like, oh, look at the way they dress with their long hair.
But that's before we were born. Like, these kids were alive then.
Yeah. It's like watching Boy Meets World or
Full
House or something like that. Yeah.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. For us. But like, it hurt. It hurt that these, like, 15-year-olds were like, that's so ironic. I'm watching it to be ironic.
Like, what? You don't know what that word means.
Yeah, exactly. Alanis Morissette. Wait, you don't even know who that is.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it does, it really, for the most part, it really does transcend, like, the
I don't want to say generations because it's not really a different generation, but yeah, it transcends all ages, because even though it may be dated in like the clothing or whatever, mm-hmm. it's very much I think the adolescent experience, the teenage experience.
Yeah,
you know, in when you really boil it down, I think she captured that really well. And if you ever read Bossy Pants.
Oh, it's glorious, which we glorious both read. I actually recommend listening to the audiobook
because she reads it.
Because it's her. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But if you read that or listen to the audiobook, you very quickly begin to realize that she definitely drew on, it's based on a book, but the movie's based on a book, but it's definitely drawn a lot from her own experience growing up and just awkwardness mm-hmm. and not being the cool kid.
Yep.
You know,
yeah,
you can very, very strong awkward. Influences.
Yeah, you can feel her true awkward.
Yeah,
which is great.
I have not read the book.
I haven't
Mean
either.
Girls is based on. It's not called Mean Girls. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Queen Bees and Wannabes.
Yes.
It's called.
Yeah. That sounds right.
Yeah.
I have not read that. I don't have any plans to really. But
no, the movie is enough of a dissection that I can enjoy.
Stands
it.
On its own. Yeah.
I have enough of that. Adolescent fuel in my life that I don't need to read a book about it either. I live it every day. Mm. And so, no, that's good for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, okay. So, Mean Girls, Love Actually. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I have a specific question, which I can't even answer myself readily. So, obviously, if you can, your favorite romantic film or chick flick classic.
Classic. First thing that comes to mind is what I'm going to say, and it's Casablanca.
You know, that was going to be mine, because, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
That's a good one, too. Yeah. Gone with the Wind is also a really good one. Casablanca, obviously, it's a classic.
Yeah.
It's a classic. Interesting tidbit about Casablanca. It came out at a time when Warner Brothers... Okay, I believe it was Warner Brothers, but I could be wrong. It might have been RKO, and I don't have the internet in front of me at the moment. Mm-hmm. But
well, then how do you know things, Frank? How do you know things?
Reasons?
My brain.
So no. At the time, every studio was doing this. Or the studio doesn't matter. We're putting out a movie a week, mm-hmm. 52 movies a year. Some of them were big. Tentpole films like Gone with the Wind.
It's funny when you say that. I'm like, that's so many films. Right. They're like, wait.
No, it's like eight.
Yeah. It's like a month.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, they put out more than that now.
Yeah.
But, and then it gets more complicated with studios and then distribution and, you know. But, they put out more than that now. But they were putting out one film a week for the whole year. And some of them were just filler. Mm-hmm. And Casablanca was one of those fillers.
Really?
It was supposed to just be like, well, it's between, you know, some other big, big films.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was not really made with... It was made with you know, Michael Curtiz as the director, with a great level of just artistry mm-hmm. and, you know, craftsmanship to it sort of certain extent. But it was not expected to be the classic that it's now become.
That's very interesting.
It was just expected to be another
really
one.
Thinks people will come in a classic.
Like, well, truly. Yeah, but even more like you know, when they made Gone with the Wind, it was like a huge budget, a huge sweeping production. This was like just another movie out of their 52 for the year. It was not meant to last. It was not meant to be remembered. It was just we've got our 10 cents from everybody for this movie for however many weeks it's going to be in theaters and then, or months or years at the time, actually. And that's it. And it's become this enduring classic.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That is absolutely crazy. Yeah. Yeah. That's probably, it's not necessarily the happiest of romantic films.
No.
Which is okay.
Yeah.
Which is okay. I don't always need, or Love Actually proves that I don't I don't always need it to be a happy ending at the end, though I do appreciate it when it is.
Yes. Have you ever seen Roman Holiday?
You know, I was thinking about that because I have never seen it, even though I love Audrey Hepburn and I love Gregory Peck.
Yeah, it's...
And I've never seen it. And I love Rome. So
you've been to Rome,
It's actually three things that I it's kind of like how I feel about Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, but I haven't...
All the pieces are there.
All the pieces are there, so I don't understand why I haven't made that next step.
Yeah.
But, You know, I don't know. I have never seen it. No.
It is a romantic classic. Also not... Well, I'm not going to spoil it, but it's...
You're going to say not a happy ending, weren't you?
That's what I said.
Yeah. I know you well enough to know what you were going to say.
Beer is so good.
Yeah. Yeah, drink your beer.
Yeah, but it's an outstanding film. Outstanding romantic film.
Okay. I think it's on Netflix. I should watch that,
I think
too.
It is. Yeah. 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 Worth a watch.
Yeah. I will do that.
Good.
I will play. Shakespeare in Love.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, actually, that I just randomly quoted, but now fits into the category in which we're talking about. For the record, I quoted Ben Affleck in Shakespeare in Love. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, Shakespeare in Love. Colin Firth.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's right.
As the bad guy.
That's right.
Yeah. And Gwyneth Paltrow, who I just saw for the briefest of seconds in Hook. I forget that she's in it every every time that
That's
I watch that movie, she turns around for that second as Wendy. And I'm like, hi, Gwyneth Paltrow, there you are.
Oh, yeah. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye. Yeah. Her and Glenn Close just hanging out with George Lucas and Carrie Fisher. Uh-huh. All hanging out in Hook together. Yeah. Yep. But yeah, Shakespeare in Love, which I mean, I could talk about that for a long... The movie is... more to me than just the love story, though. It's not about, it's not necessarily, I watch it not for that, but just for, I watch it for everything.
Yeah.
For some films you watch just for that, you know, that one aspect of the story, mm-hmm. but I watch it for all of it. But I only do want to talk about one film that, well, two that wrangle in my head, and they're both about Britain. I have something with love stories in Britain. I don't know what it is.
Yeah,
about
definitely...
I do love that. One is the very, very recent About Time.
Yeah, excellent film.
Which I made you watch, actually.
Yeah, I'm very glad you did, yeah.
Yeah, same people as Love, actually. Yeah. Same director. And I don't know if same writer, but same director. Maybe they did both. I don't know. Don't have the internet in front of me. I don't know how I know things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, tremendous. Like, I feel like all the feels about... Love Actually boiled down to follow one story.
Yeah.
And it's just
exactly. Yeah.
All the feels for one place. That's great.
It's very similar tone and feel, but it's just following. It's as if there was another love story from Love Actually that was not in that movie that we're now just following
exactly.
The one.
Exactly. Yeah. We didn't make it this far with this story, so now we have this one.
It almost feels like that. Yeah. It's not actually, just for anyone who hasn't seen it, it's not actually like a sequel or spinoff of Love Actually, but it just
feels,
you get the same director.
It has a feel. Yeah. It has that great, great feel to it. But the other one, which I was going to mention, is The Holiday.
I've never seen that one.
Oh, I love it. Oh, Christmas.
I've never
and
seen that one.
Yeah. Still, Christmas again. Kate Winslet is having a bad life in Britain, and Cameron Diaz having a bad life in LA, and they do that like house swap thing via the internet. They've never met each other, and they go and live in each other's houses to vacation. And Kate Winslet meets Jack Black, who works with Cameron Diaz. He's a film composer, and Cameron Diaz meets Kate Winslet's brother Jude Law, and they each kind of have a different spin of a romantic period of time. They're different versions. Like Cameron Diaz and Jude Law is a little bit more traditional in the way that they're like, they have these intense feels for one another right away and blah, blah, blah. And I don't want to spoil anything because you haven't seen it, but, things are a little complicated on that end. And then Kate Winslet, becomes more chummy in the way that she's getting over somebody with Jack Black, who is seeing somebody already at the time, and it's all these things, and she befriends Eli Wallach.
Oh.
Kate Winslet befriends Eli Wallach, who's the neighbor who lives down the street, who has, in the story of the film, has worked on films like Casablanca and like all these classic films. That's what he used to do. He used to be a writer. But it's just awesome. But anyway, there's the thing that I love in this film is like, you can tell when this movie was made, because they go to a Blockbuster and it's Kate Winslet and Jack Black, and he's going around and he's grabbing movie. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And he's going around and grabbing movie titles.
Yep.
And he's like, doing the theme songs to them, and he's like, la 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 la, are you embarrassed by this game we're playing? Like, it's so funny.
Oh, that's wonderful.
But one of the best scenes in that film is when it does this whole thing, and then he grabs The Graduate. Which is also a great film in its own right. But he's like, where have you gone, no DiMaggio? And like all this, and he was like, still soundtrack, even though most people consider it's not, but all the songs were written for the film.
Yeah.
And then it cuts and it's Dustin Hoffman inside the store.
Yeah.
And he's looking at a movie, he looks up and shakes his head and puts the movie back. But the best part of all this, it was not planned. Dustin Hoffman was like out for like a morning run or whatever, and he saw they were filming a movie, so he stopped and he was like, what's going on? And they're like, what movie are you filming?
Stop.
And they were like, be in this movie. Like, be in this scene for a second. So he's just like in his running clothes.
Oh my God.
He's in a gray sweatshirt and a t-shirt just staring at movies it's awesome.
Amazing.
It's awesome. And I mean, like, you don't know that when you're watching the film. It's like this little random, like, Dustin Hoffman. Like,
yeah,
in this movie.
Cameo
you're not looking for.
Oh,
but
wow.
It is, hands down, one of my favorite cameos ever. And that includes all of the cameos in Marvel movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
It's great film. Definitely a lot of feels at the end of it. It's a little on the cornier side, certainly.
Sure. Okay.
My most romantic comedies are
in their
own right, but it's just a very good cast, mm-hmm. and they're all really doing what they're good at.
Yep.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great film. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
It's so funny. When I first went to go see that movie, I saw it with a friend, and we both went to go see it because of Jude Law.
Because
he has an actual crush on him, and I have a man crush on him.
Yeah,
which are two different things.
Because mm-hmm.
Jude Law, I just think for some reason is just cool.
He's a cool dude.
He's just a cool dude.
Cool dude.
I love. It's just great. And so,
beer, cars,
beer,
cars,
cars, cars. Oh, and motorcycles.
Motorcycles. Totally.
Vroom, vroom, ding, ding. Okay,
all right.
So that about wraps it up for us tonight. And I'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Cheers.
Cheers.
This podcast is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. All character names, sound effects, and quotes are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Thought Bubble Audio Studios, unless otherwise indicated.